Luke 1, verse 26, it reads, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I'm a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her." Lord, we thank you for the pattern we see through the characters in Scripture. Lord, those we can draw life lessons from. We can see what they did in a powerful, honoring way. We can also take encouragement in their humanity. Lord, speak to us from these Scriptures today, we ask, and change our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. I want to make 2 points today about Mary here on Mother's Day. And the first point is being called by God, she submitted to God. Being called by God, she submitted to God. Now, I'm obviously aware that anytime Mary is mentioned, the bar goes way up. It's like, dear Lord, you're really going to start with Mary, and that's going to be our standard of measurement here. Thanks a lot, preacher. You know, but anytime she is mentioned, the bar and the standards of expectation seem to always go way up. And so who would ever measure themselves by her? Which is why we will break in to point number two, which is being called by God does not mean you have to be perfect. Can I get a witness up in here this morning? So being called by God does not mean that you have to be perfect. So back to point one, we see that Mary was submitted to the plan and the will of God by her response. Now, did she understand everything? No. Did she completely see the end game? No. But who in here truly sees the end game other than God is good? He's victorious. We know that he has our best in mind, but we have no idea of the steps between now and then exactly what that's going to look like. But here we see an attitude that's virtuous in here, because in verse 38, she ultimately responded with the statement in response, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be done to me," in verse 38, "as you have said." And so she was very normal like us. She was very human like us. We don't need to deify her, whether intentionally or unintentionally. She was very noble. She was honorable. The favor of the Lord was upon her. God chose her. But we don't want to make the mistake of deifying her. She's very human, very normal. And our worship is only reserved for one. Is that not correct? But we do certainly deeply respect her and honor the role she played in the redemption story. Now remember, she was a mere teenager at this point, just like we all here have been or will be one day. How many of y'all wish you maybe could have skipped that stage? I don't know. Or wish you that maybe could have a do-over. Don't know. But she was a mere teenage girl, but she was honorable. She walked in the fear of the Lord. She was chaste. She was pure. But the most powerful thing to me is that she was a mother who totally submitted to God and the plan of God with very limited information. I mean, the encounter with the angel was powerful, but all he told her was what was going to transpire, how it was going to be done, but then she had the rest of all that to unpack herself. How many of you know God does that to us a lot of times? He'll kind of get us started, and he'll say, I'll unpack the next stage when I need to unpack the next stage. So she knew she was going to be pregnant. She knew it was going to be the doing of the Holy Spirit. But there were a lot of questions that were swirling around in her mind. And I'm sure she was trying to sober up from that visitation, that angelic visitation. But she was willing to submit to the Lord and to go forward with limited information. Our walk is the same. Many times we have to go forward with limited information. This was real faith at work here because there were ramifications to her saying yes and submitting to the plan of God. I mean, first there would be the obvious stigma of having a baby out of wedlock. I mean, she knew the baby was from God, but all the rest of the humanoids around her would know that. And can you imagine her trying to explain to them, look, I mean, come here, this really, it was him. And they're like, right, Mary, right. You know, you just come over here. We have a room with padded walls, and we'll make sure that you get 3 square a day. And, you know, I mean, can you imagine trying to convince those around you? And so, but she submitted to it nonetheless. But there was a stigma there, not to mention the potential of losing her fiancé. It's like, if I say yes to that, that could drive a wedge in his attitude toward this. And she said yes anyway, not knowing where he would land on the whole issue. And of course, as we read, we know that he did have a problem with that and made a plan to divorce her quietly. But then God visited Joseph. Now, she didn't know that. She didn't know God's going to visit my fiance and cue him in. For all she knew, she was saying yes to the will of the Lord, not knowing the ramification that it would bear and that it would result with Joseph. Y'all realize when we read this, we're reading the high, you know, the high points, but there's a lot in between here. And so she said yes, but she did not know how it would play out with him. It wasn't just merely his attitude. She could think, I might just lose him altogether. Not just that he would be irked with me, he may just flee the coop. And such was his plan. She didn't know how everything would play out when she said yes. Her obedience and her submission had a price tag on it. It had a certain price tag. Does your obedience have a certain price tag on it? I tell you, there is a Christianity being preached today that may not be Christianity because it doesn't involve the cross. Many times there's not a cost. There's an easy believism where certain things are watered down. And it doesn't mean that we're looking to be ascetics or looking to make things hard. But you will find soon enough when you follow the Lord, there is a price to pay. But then he comes around and rewards that obedience. And then you go to the next level. So she didn't have all the answers, but she submitted nonetheless. That's an amazing thing to me. She went forward with imperfect information. Can you say imperfect information? See, our propensity is to say, I'll do it if I can see everything. If I can see all the way to the end. God's like, I'm not going to give you that. Matter of fact, it was Martin Luther King Jr. who said that many will never take the first couple of steps unless they feel like they can see the whole stairwell. But life doesn't allow us to see the whole stairwell many times. He just says, take a step of faith. That means it's just that. It's a step. And then we'll have illumination for the next step. And so this was a step, but it was a huge step for her because there were heavy ramifications. Had she allowed the what ifs to control her, to cause her fear or shut her down, she would have missed the greatest blessing of history. I mean, you think about it, the willingness to be misunderstood. The willingness, you know, even God is willing sometimes to be misunderstood by you and I in order to get us into our destiny. How many of y'all have ever questioned God's direction? Like, do you really know where this thing is going? He's willing and secure enough to be misunderstood in the short term in order to get us into our destiny. And sometimes when God's called us to something, you know, there's that aspect of I don't get it. She had emotions just as we do. She was very normal. She was very human. Initially, she was actually very troubled, the scripture says, by the words and greeting she heard. She's a teenage girl. She didn't walk on the clouds. Oh, I am Mary. Oh, you know, with the Jesus music and little fat babies with violins, cherubim. You know, now she was highly favored. She was blessed. She was pure. She was chaste, but she was human. There's only to be one on the throne. His name is Jesus, okay? Just to be clear, she was very human. So she was the bondservant of the Lord while totally wrapped in humanity. So was she nervous? Probably. Was she unsure of her own abilities? I'm sure that she probably would be. Was she concerned this might bring great pain into her life? I think she probably did the math thinking, dear me, what will life look like a month down the road? How about when I'm in my ninth month? How about when the Son of God is born? What will life look like? Will there be pain involved? Even if she didn't clearly see it then, it wouldn't be many days before she would get this word by Simeon in the temple that there would be a measure of pain that would be measured out. She was normal, yet she submitted. She was normal, yet she submitted. Normal, yet she submitted to the plan of God and to God Himself. And for that, we salute. And for that, we take note. And for that, we learn from. When the angel of the Lord encountered her and gave her the decree, again, it says she was greatly troubled by the words and the welcome and the greeting that was given to her. We see her humanness also in verse 34 when she just asked the question, how will this be? I mean, she has this angelic visitation, that's powerful, but she's being told as a virgin, you're going to bear the Christ. And so she's not snarky, but she's just curious, like, okay, I'm getting my head around that, but how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. She wasn't belligerent. It was a fair question. And the angel answered her. It was unlike Zechariah when Elizabeth had been barren and she also had a visitation. You're going to bring forth a child. And Zechariah, the husband, you know, he was wondering and asked, well, how can we be sure of this? It was a different spirit. Mary was saying, all right, I got it. I'm with you. I'm just curious how you're going to do it. Zechariah was inquiring, I'm not sure you're going to do it. Tell me so that, you know, so that it makes sense to me. And so there was an unbelieving attitude about her barrenness. So Mary was like you and I, not knowing the future, but she followed and submitted anyway. Even when she clearly did know that there would be a heavy personal cross to bear, she still carried on. Remember on the eighth day, after Jesus' birth, when Mary and Joseph took the baby to the temple to be presented and dedicated. Y'all remember the elderly intercessory couple, Anna and Simeon, that were there waiting and praying for the consolation of Israel, waiting to see him physically before they went on to the house, that he would be revealed to them. And so we find this story in Luke chapter 2, if you go over a chapter to verse 28. And it says here that Simeon, when Jesus came into the temple with Mary and Joseph, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. So can you imagine, you know, having a baby dedication. Say we've got mothers and we love our babies back there. Love them. They're shouting unto God with a voice of triumph. Love that. But can you imagine having a baby dedication and all the, and we're up here praying and someone prophesies over one of these children to the parents, your child will be a sign to be spoken against. Have a good day. We bless you. Here's your certificate, you know. Or then look at the mother and say, and a sword will pierce your soul too. I mean, this is what happened in the temple. And so, did they know that there would be pain in the beginning? I think she had to reason there potentially could be, but if she didn't, now it was prophetically spoken. I've always taken verse 35 as a very interesting statement, not to be glossed over. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. There would be great joy in bringing the deliverer of all mankind into the world, but there would be pain too. But Mary seems undeterred once again. There's a poetic warning here that's given to her, but she's unflinchingly submitting herself still to the Lord. I'm sure she's pondering in her heart, but submissive nonetheless. She remains the Lord's servant. And with eyes wide open, then she submits to the call and goes forward. We don't take that for granted. Many would have said no, yet God knew what was in her heart. So again, point number one, she was a mother called by God and submitted to God. Can we say submitted to God? No small thing. I mean, you think about it. What might God birth through us if we follow Him through uncertainty, through imperfect information, and a prophecy or awareness that there'll be pain down the road? I mean, who would go forward nonetheless? Mary was a mother worth imitating. A mother worth imitating. But again, to encourage us so that we don't put her on a undue pedestal, the second point again, being called by God does not mean you have to be perfect. So, despite the fact that Mary physically brought Jesus into this world, she still wasn't perfect. She wasn't perfect. You know, when someone else isn't perfect, in a strange way, it encourages you, doesn't it? Because you think, well, thank God it's not just me. You see, and the scriptures reveal the humanity of His servants. I think just to not gloss over, but to give succeeding generations the hope that if God could move through her for a mighty act, human though she is, certainly He could move through me to birth His purposes. So let's look at a few things here that will relax the unrealistic standard a bit. When Jesus was 12 years old, let's go over, we're still in Luke 2, let's go over to verse 41. It reads, every year, His parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When He was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while His parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking He was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for Him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find Him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for Him. Verse 46, after 3 days, can you say 3 days? After 3 days, they found Him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. Now, this is, to me, the original Home Alone. I mean, can you imagine, you know, going a day's journey, just all of a sudden say, oh yeah, where's Jesus? Oh yeah, where's Jesus? I thought you had Him. I thought you had Him. I mean, you're talking about an argument getting ready to break out. So, I mean, here they are, a day's journey. And now they look for Him for probably half a day. Then they travel back. And then they look another half. And then they find Him in the... So 3 days had come and gone. I mean, dear me, call the social worker. What's going on there? Is Mary not being a good mother? What's going on? I personally know of a little boy in kindergarten, who was with one of his friends and his mother, and they went to the supermarket, and the mothers got to talking so much and carrying on that they bought their groceries, and they got in their car together and they drove home. Meanwhile, the two little boys are walking through the aisles, you know, looking for their mother. And I mean, the little boy and Rob Rhodes, I mean, his friend, were left wandering in the store trying to find their mothers. I mean, do y'all remember that children's book, Are You My Mother? Anyone, y'all remember that? I think we got an image of this. I love that book, Are You My Mother? Well, actually, I wrote that, if we can show the other image. Yeah, there it is right there. Are You My Mother? And so just looking around, trying to find. So, you know, there are occasions, things like that can happen. So again, thank God for the scriptures that humanize our heroes to give us encouragement that God can use us. And I say that totally in jest. I have the greatest mama in the universe, absolutely amazing, prayed me in, counseled me in, preached me in, absolutely over the top, amazing. Mwah. We love you. Bless you, mama. Honor you. Rah, rah. And yes, they did come back to get us, and we all lived happily ever after. Another interesting moment in Mary's life. This is a little clunky, and this is just a little bit awkward in John 2. You remember the wedding at Cana of Galilee. And again, this is not in any way trying to disparage her. I just want to so interject the humanity of this virtuous woman so that we all have hope. Amen. So in John 2, verse 1, on the third day, John 2, verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Verse 4. "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." So in this little predicament here, he goes from addressing Mary as mom or mother to dear woman. I mean, you could just see there was a little rolling of the eyes. I'm just trying to enjoy the wedding here. You know, I'm reclining. I don't want to totally come out with my superpowers right now. I'm just trying to, I don't know about you, but there have been many times I've been on a plane or somewhere and I'm enjoying myself and I feel a little nudge, witness to them or share with them. I'm like, I'm just trying to enjoy the plane ride. And I get this little nudge or this little incentive that I maybe need to do that. But Mary was trying to use her natural connection to Jesus to get him to do something he initially didn't feel was in the Father's will or the Father's timing minimally. And so there was an issue here. And that's why there was the pushback. In other words, I'm all for healing, I'm all for miracles, but I'm not hearing this from the Father right now at this moment. Matter of fact, there was this minister that had this tremendous healing gift, healing ministry, and someone was mocking him, saying, "Oh, so you believe that Jesus heals today?" And the minister said, "Well, yes, I do." Then he said, "Well, fine, go over to that hospital over there and just clear it out. Get everybody healed and just clear it out." And so the guy said, "Well, all right, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus still saves today?" And the challenger said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Fine, you go into that mall over there and just lead everyone to the Lord right now." But the point is, there are factors. There's timing. Jesus walked by people in need all the time. He didn't do anything he didn't see his Father doing. Plus, he knew that the moment he were to come out of the closet in regard to miracles, they were going to want to start killing him. And so he knew, I've got 3 years, 3.5 years. And so it was not an issue of compromise for him as much as it was an issue of propriety, doing the right thing at the right time. In other words, my time has not yet come. You're trying to push me to use my superpowers, but I'm not hearing the Father say that. I'm not seeing the Father do that. But later on, he did relent. And so there was a context to not just what he did, but why he did what he did. Many times we find the enemy will push us where the Holy Spirit leads us. The wisdom from above, it's first of all, it's pure, it's peaceable, and full of good fruits. So I don't know about you, but if I ever feel pushed, many times I'll just do the opposite. If I'm feeling pushed on it, it's like, no, the wisdom from above, it's first of all, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's full of good fruits. If you ever get that case of, I've got to, you ought to, you, and you've got this driving thing, I mean, there could be something in it. But again, there's a quality and a tonal quality to the leading of the Lord. It doesn't mean that we don't muster courage. It doesn't mean that we don't muster up boldness and believe God for that. But there's a clarity and there's a peace in his leadership. But for whatever reason, Jesus ultimately accommodated her. But he was initially a little put out and put on the spot, quite actually. Then we see the boldness and the presumption grow a bit more. Why? Because she's not perfect. Take heart. Go over to Mark 3, if you would. You're doing okay today. All right. Mark 3. Verse 20. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Now, can you imagine trying to take charge of God? So this is his family. And so when they heard that he was there, they went to take charge of him, but then they come up with the deduction, he's out of his mind. And then we drop down into verse 31. It says, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him, and he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. It was said about Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts was the chief instrument used in the Welch Revival. But it said he had been believing God for revival for 10 years. People think that things just kind of happened, but there had been a 10-year buildup in prayer that had been invested. But Evan Roberts prayed so hard and so long for revival in Wells that it got to a point he didn't even want to go to school anymore. He had completely lost his appetite for school and for education, which is our normal fare. And he would have these visitations in the night, and he would pray all through the night. And so he was probably a little bit struggling, you know, during the day, the next day, a little bit tired. But he was so afraid that if I miss these times of prayer, I might miss that sweetness of the visitation that I feel like I'm receiving from the Lord. So his appetites were just completely different than others. And his family thought that he had lost grip on reality. They thought he was losing his mind. So people thinking you are crazy is difficult, but when it's your own family, it's doubly difficult. Hello. And again, you go back to Mary. Oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. Who's the dad? God. You know, I mean, just trying to explain. And then we have to be willing to be misunderstood, be willing to embrace the stigma in points of obedience. Mary was human. Missed the mark on occasion, like we all do. It's akin to Peter pulling Jesus aside to rebuke him for talk of going to the cross. Peter thought that Jesus needed to be a little more tempered, so he thought. Likewise, Mary was very human, very human, very human. Can we be honest in here? How many of you, especially women, upon reading Proverbs 31, you're thinking, dear me, who is this person? Is this person even real? The Proverbs 31 woman. I mean, have you ever read that and thought, is this real? I mean, who is this woman? I mean, the woman never sleeps. It says her lamp never goes out. She always works, and with her hands, she brings in food from afar, like a fleet of ships, it describes. I mean, she runs a farm. She plants vineyards. I mean, it's like Martha Stewart on steroids. She manages a staff. She goes and buys land. She sews like an expert. She cooks. She trades. She makes bed coverings. Well, of course she does. She's the Proverbs 31 woman. She cleans. She cares for the poor and needy. I'm sure she homeschooled her children, you know, the 3 minutes that were left in her schedule, while having an amazing feast prepared for her husband who came home, being the one who had the real job, who came home. And so again, you just think about all these attributes, and they're noble and they're real, but it's like no wonder the passage begins by asking, a woman like this, who can find? In other words, it's super mom. You know, the late Catherine Kuhlman used to say, God doesn't need ability, just availability. Not ability, just availability. He knows we're frail. He knows our frame. He knows our brokenness. He knows our hearts. He just wants the yes of our hearts. And he comes alongside to help. But most of us were never called to bring the Christ into the world. So we don't put that standard on us. But we are called to bring something into the world. And that's the standard whereby God enables us and measures out grace unto that task. So we don't want to fall in the trap of measuring ourselves against an unrealistic standard. But we do download the lessons and the virtues and that which we can honor while seeing their feet of clay at the same time. Mary and all of her humanness still yet was there through thick and thin, thick and thin, thick and thin. With all of her humanity, she was there. She was there. She was there. Do we realize a lot of life is just being there? A lot of parenting is just being there. Just being there. I mean, because there's so many that aren't there. Just being there goes a long way. It's like Jesus with flesh. Just proximity. Even if you aren't rolling off these amazing words of wisdom in this great grand council, just being there goes so far. Was she human? Yes, but she was there. And she was there through thick and through thin. In her humanity, we find her broken and weeping at the foot of the cross in great anguish. That was Mary, the very real person. She was a very real mother. She carried the Christ 9 months, just like mothers do today. There was that sense of, this is my child. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man. Fully God, fully human, we see. So she brought him into this world. Mary was a mother at the beginning, and Mary was a mother at the very end. And everywhere in between, a mother called by God, not perfect, but submitted. Not perfect, but submitted. Not perfect, but submitted. And so very useful to the master. And she never ever relinquished her title as mother. She was a faithful woman through and through. Faithful through and through. I mean, you think about it. Mary amazingly got to see God's entire plan play out. It was amazing. From Jesus' birth, obviously she was there, to his earthly ministry, she was there. To him suffering on the cross, she was there. To celebrating resurrection, she was there. Even in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, she was there. What a life. Human, flawed, broken. There was pain. There was anguish. Simeon prophetically declared it, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. But oh, the joy of being the servant of the Lord, the handmaiden of the Lord, to bring to pass His will for her life and the blessing it brought to humankind. A woman not perfect, but a woman submitted. That's doable. That's doable for all of us, whether we're a mom, whether we're a dad, whether we're a son, whether we're a daughter. That's doable. And we don't hide the humanity. We can laugh at it. And we can embrace it and laugh at our frailty and laugh at our humanness and be the first one to admit it versus trying to put on airs or to put on a show and just to say, I'm a needy person, but I'm submitted. I'm flawed, but I love Him. I have weaknesses, but I know the one who's strong, and God therefore can do amazing things when we admit what God already knows and what people already know. Great combination. Human, but submitted. Simple, isn't it? But doable. It's doable. Let's stand up here on Mother's Day. Lord, we honor our moms. We thank You for this model we see here in Mary. Lord, what a virtuous woman who was highly blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Lord, thank You for her example, how she went forward with limited information, with imperfect information, being even troubled on the front end as a little teenager, wondering, how could this be? How would this take place? But yet, Lord, concluding by saying, here I am, Your servant. Be it done unto me according to Your will. Lord, we just also say in our own frailty, we can't, but You can. Be it done unto us according to Your will. Here we are, the Lord's servant. Lord, I know there's multiple application for this on many levels. We're not called to do what she did. We're called to do what You've given us. Whether we're a student, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, whatever station of life, grant the help and the encouragement to go forward in our journey. Broken yet submitted, normal yet useful to the Master, to do the thing You've given us to do. Lord, we just lower any false standards we've placed on anyone, and we allow You, Jesus, to take that rightful place on the pedestal. You're the perfect one. You're the one without flaw, the sinless one, Lamb of God. Now, Lord, I just pray there'd be encouragement that would come to us as we see how You dealt with Your servants of old. Now, Lord, we just bless those in our lives that have mentored us and coached us and prayed for us. We just right now speak a blessing over our mothers right now. Lord, those that are still on the earth. Father, we just bless those that were spiritual mothers, those that mentored, those that prayed. Lord, those that counseled, those that persevered, those that were unrelenting like Mary, through thick and thin who went the distance. Though they weren't perfect, You used them in our lives. And Father, I pray that You'd use us to be that to the next generation, we pray. In the name of Jesus.